Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Skyblaze.
Afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Skyblaze, and this is Radio Sega. And I'd like to welcome you back to the Hidden Palace, or rather, the Velvet Room, for another week. As we finish looking through the history of the Persona games. Thankfully, this time there don't appear to be any weird guys with long noses. So let's have a recap of what I discussed last time. So, in the previous episode, I covered where we started with Shin Megami Tensei IF, and up to where we left off with Persona 2 Innocent Sin, which involved the protagonist and his friends agreeing to have their memories wiped in order to prevent the destruction of the entire world. Because that's the sort of thing that would put a crimp in your day. Who have we got in the chat today? We have Resident SD, we've got TCB, Frost, or rather Frozen Spectre. That's quite a good one. Grey Fog rolling in. Yes, very good, my love. Electro Pugaloo's here. Anybody else, give me a shout if you want a shout out on the Discord chat. And of course, Grey Fog's put a gif of Igor drumming his fingers on the desk. Resident SD says, "You sure there's no weird guys here?" Well, there's my husband. He is quite weird.
I am very weird.
The door must be shut in this episode because there's no cold opening. Ha! Very good, Frost. Yeah, we couldn't think of something that would actually top the last episode, so never mind. So, the sequel to Persona 2 Innocent Sin is Persona 2 Eternal Punishment. This is set a few months after the event of Innocent Sin, where your silent protagonist is called Maya, who was one of the playable characters in the previous game, and is the writer for the teen magazine Coolest. In this game, she's looking into the rumours of a mysterious person called Joker, who can be sent to kill someone if you call yourself on your mobile. And no, this is not the DC Comics Joker, the Persona 5 Joker, and not even the Joker from Innocent Sin, just to make things even more confusing. During Maya's investigation into this, she and her friends discover the principal of their school has been murdered by this new Joker, who then attacks them, leading to their personas of being awakened. During this fight, the party can then chase this Joker down and find him in the process of forcing a student to remember the events of Innocent Sin, when they're saved by the protagonist of the previous game, who tells Maya to forget about him. Well, I think I've talked enough for the start of the show. So we'll have a bit of music then. So from a couple of tracks from Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, we've got the opening from Persona 2 Eternal Punishment and then the Club Zodiac theme. We've got quite a lot of requests actually this week, so this is the only block that doesn't have a request in. So enjoy those, and I'll speak to you after this music break. We'll be right back. that was Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, Club Zodiac. And before that, also from Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, Opening. And Electric Boogaloo is being extremely cruel in the Discord chat because they're posting the new arcade one-up arcade cabinets that they're bringing out, which include Tron, Ridge Racer, Killer Instinct, among others. And, yeah, I can't afford them, and I live in a top floor flat, so, and there isn't a lift, so I'm not going to get one of those, but, you know, the Tron one is very tempting. Moving on. So, back to Persona 2 Eternal Punishment, then. As the game progresses, the group wind up at a mental institution where one of the antagonists from the previous game... Bear with me a second. I have done a stupid. Right, there we go. So they run into an antagonist from the previous game. Tatsuya Sudo is revealed to be the new Joker, and we find he's trying to trigger the reappearance of the Innocent Sin timeline. After the events following Sudo are being killed, a Joker curse and an organisation called the New World Order are trying to wipe the Earth's surface so they can begin life anew without sin. The party meet up with the previous game's antagonist, who is persuaded to reveal what is going on. At the end of the last game, Maya was actually killed, which prompted the rest of the group to have their memories wiped to reset events. Our protagonist, though, refused to forget, causing a loophole which would allow the events of Innocent Sin to reassert themselves should the party remember what happened. The final fight sees the party going up against Nyarlathotep, who had been manipulating this timeline's Joker, and he mocks the Innocent Sin protagonist for failing to uphold his part of the agreement from the previous game. With Nyarlathotep defeated, the protagonist accepts his fate and has his memories wiped, leading to the city being returned to normal. So we're going to have a couple of requests now, and the first one is a request from Resident SD, and it's actually from Persona Q2, New Cinema Labyrinth, which I've been playing recently. I've picked it up fairly recently from my 3DS. And after that, we're going to have a request from Electric Boogaloo, which is from Persona Q, the predecessor to Persona Q2, and that one is called Donut. So I hope you enjoy those, and I'll speak to you after this music break. We'll be right back.
I'm Resin SD, host of Layin' Live. And when it comes to boosting your Sega education, there's no better place than the Hidden Palace on Radio Sega.
Checking that everything's working. Right, and that was Persona Q Donut, requested by Electric Boogaloo, and before that we had from Persona Q2 Jungle Quest, another version requested by Resident SD. So continuing with the next game in the series, we had Persona 3, which features a protagonist attending high school, much like most of the games in the Persona series. And when they learn to summon a persona, they're asked to join a group called SEES, S-E-E-S, Specialized Extracurricular Execution Squad. Alright then. A group of students who are tasked with investigating the Dark Hour, a time period between one day and the next that very few people are aware of. There is also Tartarus, a realm in which the shadow creatures can be found. I think this is also the first appearance of the Reaper, who becomes a kind of staple character in the future Persona games, and is terrifying. As you play through the game, your mission is to defeat 12 special shadows, who each represent one of the major arcana. Their defeat would then mean an end to the Dark Hour and the destruction of Tartarus. You also encounter a female android called Aegis, who was designed to fight shadows and has a strong protective interest in the protagonist. It is soon revealed that by defeating the 12 shadows, the party were actually releasing parts of an entity called Nyx, who would bring about, you guessed it, the end of the world. Aegis also discovered why she is compelled to protect the protagonist, as it's revealed that she was actually designed to fight Nyx, but could only succeed in dispersing it into the 12 shadows, with the final part being placed into the body of the protagonist when they were a child. That's pretty messed up. But then the Persona series is sometimes. I know there was a big controversy with Persona 3 because the way that you summon personas in Persona 3 is by using a device called an evoker, which is basically a gun. And in order to summon your persona, you have to shoot yourself in the head with it. I am not making this up. And there's actually, I think, a line in one of it where one of the characters actually says something along the lines of, yeah, you have to be a bit crazy in order to, like, take this gun-like object and pull the trigger against your head repeatedly. And there's a whole bunch of stuff about, like, psychology and suicidal ideation and all sorts of really heavy stuff. The Persona series gets dark, is what I'm saying. Regarding what Electric Boogaloo was saying about those Arcade 1-Up arcade cabinets, is like, yeah, I was saying, I can't afford one, I've got nowhere to put it, and I couldn't get it up the stairs to my flat. And, Frost and Electric Boogaloo were being really cruel by saying, like, well, aren't they flat pack? They don't come pre-assembled, you know? Like, thanks, guys, that's really helpful. Cheers. My wallet just throws itself into oblivion in self-defense. I still can't afford them. One more Tron thing. There's no problems, only solutions. There's a Journey song called Only Solutions that's actually on the soundtrack, and it's a great song. It's not one of their better known ones, which is a shame because it's great. There's also an instrumental track by Journey on the soundtrack called the 1990s theme, which is also a great track, and again, not heard very often. And Greyforce saying, well, there are Persona 3 GIFs of the Evoker summon animation. He'll refrain from posting those. Probably just as well. Anyway, that quote is from the movie. It is, which is why the song is included, I think. Because they were kind of involved in creating the soundtrack, from what I understand. Although Wendy Carlos did most of the electronica that's included in the movie. And it's awesome. Listen to the Tron soundtrack if you haven't. Tron Legacy soundtrack is also pretty good. Anyway. Greyforce saying it's playing over the credits at some point. You mean Only Solutions?
Yeah.
It's, I think, playing in the arcade when they first come in. Anyway, let's have some more music, shall we? So from Persona 3, we've got Battle Hymn of the Soul. And then another request, again from Persona Q2. That one's been very popular today. We've got Cinematic Tale, which was requested by TCB. So enjoy that, and I will speak to you after the music break to talk a bit more about Persona 3.
You're listening to The Hidden Palace with the wonderful Skyblaze, only on Radio Sega. Well, I guess if you're here, it's not that well hidden, is it?
Persona 2 Q2 Cinematic Tale, requested by TCB. And then before that, we have from Persona 3 Battle Hymn of the Soul. So, we talked about the 12 shadows that needed to be defeated in Persona 3, and it transpires that a transfer student named Ryoji joins the school soon after the 12th shadow was defeated. It soon transpires that they are, in fact, an anthropomorphic personification of death, and not the friendly Terry Pratchett version. who was sealed inside the protagonist. Okay then. The releasing of the other 12 parts of Nyx allowed him to manifest into the real world. Before the final confrontation with Nyx on New Year's Eve, the party are given the choice of killing Ryoji, which will result in them losing the memories of the past year and living their lives unaware of the end of the world, which would be caused by Nyx. Or they can let Ryoji live, ultimately resulting in the protagonists sacrificing their life to reseal Nyx away and restoring the world to normal at the cost of everyone's memories of the past year. By choosing the latter option, the protagonist and Aegis are the only ones to remember what happened over the past year, and the game ends with the protagonist falling asleep and passing away while laying on Aegis' lap. Wow, that's... wow. That's a sad ending. Persona 3 FES, which is meant to stand for Festival, had an epilogue to the game where you play as Aegis, which is called The Answer or Episode Aegis in Japan. Here, the C's members find themselves trapped in their dorms and are repeating the same day over and over again. I think I meant to put that music break somewhere else. Bear with me a moment while I edit something. During a fight with a similar android to Aegis called Metis, Aegis's persona Athena transforms into the protagonist's persona Orpheus, and she gains all of the same wildcard abilities that the protagonist had. Fighting your way through the many dungeons, Aegis and the members of the Seas eventually obtain a key which will let them break the time loop, but Metis reveals that it would also let them to return to before the protagonist sacrificed themselves and allow them to save him. Oh, one thing about Persona 3, to the best of my knowledge, the previous games in the series had everyone able to use multiple personas, and Persona 3 was the first one which actually introduced the idea of the wild card. So it was only the protagonist of the game who could use multiple personas, I think. Let's have some more music then. So from Persona 3 FES or FES, there's a track actually called P3 FES. FES, FES, wow. But after that we have from Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, Today, which was requested by TCB, as in the track's called Today. So have a listen to that, and we'll talk a bit more about Persona 3 FES and the Persona 3 Portable remake. So have a listen, let me know what you think, and I'll speak to you after this music break.
For a battle, then I'll take it to the street. With his new boots, take off the gloves, rip peace to death. Better prove my skills, so get down. My lyrical gems to prove how to smack down now. Gotta shoot to kill, I shoot to scale. Don't you be afraid, man, gotta do how it feels. 16, 17, 18, 19, 10. I flip the script to make it to the top 10. Go!
Gavi, and you're listening to The Hidden Palace with Skyblaze on Radio Sega.
heart of the dark, trailing lines still in your veins. You know you made it through a time to live it up today. Now the time to not look back, no back, just clear your mind and let it go. Know you can shake it, think of nothing but tomorrow. There's a day waiting for you, my friend. In dreams you see it many a time. Cause you had to be legend in life, but this time is the time for you, my friend. It's today that matters most of all. Today was born to be. Today the talk to our souls, so to celebrate life today. Today has brought the happy times, the dancy and the carefree smile. It's symphony, symphony, it's spirit sharing the time, the celebration today. Found a way to come out of that face. Kick your heels into the ground. You kind of pass it through, I guess, all the fight I won.
From Persona 4 Arena Ultimax today, and that was a track requested by TCB. And before that, we had from Persona 3 FES, P3 FES, or Fez, or whatever it's supposed to be called. I was a bit worried about I was going to overrun, but the show after this is pre-recorded, so less of a problem. Let's move on anyway. After much infighting among the party, they agree to leave the timeline as it is and proceed to break the loop. It is then revealed that Metis is a manifestation of Aegis's personality, as Aegis was so distraught over the protagonist's death that she no longer wanted to be human and sought to become just a machine. Following the events in the time loop, though, she changes her mind, deciding to continue to attend school as before. Now, Persona 3 also had a PSP re-release, referred to as Persona 3 Portable, which, while it retains much of the original PS2 gameplay, it includes some new features and options, most notably having a female protagonist instead of a male one. And this is complete with a more feminine-looking Orpheus persona. You also get some new abilities based on your social links, and some different social links as well. This is kind of a remake in the same vein as what would later happen with Persona 4 Golden and Persona 5 Royal. You also get to choose who you want to be Igor's assistant in the Velvet Room, whether it be Elizabeth, as per the original Persona 3, or the new male assistant, Theodore. In Persona Q2, when the female P3 protagonist turns up, it's assumed that Theodore was her attendant and Elizabeth was the male P3 protagonist. Because yes, after quite a long absence in most kind of spin-off media, the Persona 3 female protagonist shows up in Persona Q2, which, as you may guess, is why there's been quite a lot of Persona Q2 music in this episode. So, let's have one last music block before we go into Chiptune Corner, then. I'm not going to really talk about Persona 4 and 5, because I think they're pretty well known by most people. I mean, they're readily available, they're very easy to play. I might go into them in detail later and cover like some of the spin-offs and things. But what do you want me to? Let me know if you do want me to cover some of the later Persona games, or the spin-off games, or like, well, Persona Q and Q2, the dancing games, the fighting games. Let me know. Get in contact with me. Electro Boogaloo is saying that Persona 4 and 5 have kind of been talked about to death, and yeah, I kind of feel the same. It's very easy to find content on Persona 4 and 5. Especially with Persona 4 being now even easier to get a hold of since it's got a Steam release. But speaking of Persona 4, this one is a request by my beloved Greyfor, who's actually been handling the social work tonight on Twitter, since Twinny has been busy. So thank you, my love. So this is from Persona 4 Golden. This is Backside of the TV. And then after that, another request from Resident SD. We've got from Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, Last Surprise, Teku Takahashi Remix. So enjoy that, and I will speak to you after this break for the Chiptune Corner.
up, but they already come up. Just around you not to push you out of World Cup. But it depends on how you gon' behave. The moment, hush the moment, you can tell me what's really happening. Here I'm for nothing, but you got everything. Bro, you got everything, but you don't know anything.
Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, Last Surprise, Taku Takahashi Remix, and that was requested by Resident SD. And before that we had from Persona 4 Golden, Backside of the TV, requested by Grey4. I had a bit of a problem with that Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight track, because when I tried to download and extract the file path was too long. Because I save all my Radio Sega music to an external drive, and it's a couple of kind of folders deep in the thing. And because the track name is quite long, and our version, the Radio Sega version, actually includes the Japanese name in brackets, it was too long, and I kept getting an error message. So I had to take it right back to the root directory in order to have enough room to actually extract the thing. I think that'll be fixed at some point, it'll be fine. But now on to Chiptune Corner. So this week's Chiptune Corner is occupied by Matt Gray. He's a British musician, composer and producer. He's also a founding member of the music projects Xenomania and Motive 8. That's Motive, M-O-T-I-V, and the number 8. Though he is best known for his work creating music for the Commodore 64, composing soundtracks or using the SID chip for games such as The Last Ninja 2, Driller, and Hunter's Moon. Oh, it's okay, Resident SD, it's not like you knew! And I say, it'll get fixed, it'll be fine. Matt Gray has a SoundCloud, and he is also on Twitter, so I will put a link into his SoundCloud for you. There you go, into the Discord chat. So I recommend that you check out his work. He's actually been working on kind of doing what he refers to as remastered versions of some of his older work, which is pretty interesting. There's also some pretty nice remixes of his work that's over on, I think it's C64 Audio, and RKO Remix as well. So have a look there, but this is the OG original from Matt Gray. This is from The Last Ninja 2, and it is the Central Park Loader. So have a listen, let me know what you think. Be sure to check out Matt's SoundCloud, and I'll speak to you after this music break to close off the show.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. And that was Matt Gray, The Last Ninja 2, Central Park Loader. And Resident SD says, proper old school Sid tune, you can't beat it. And I absolutely agree. So thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. We've had Frost and Resident SD, Electric Boogaloo, TCB's also been listening in. My husband has also been working hard on the social. Thank you to anybody else who's been listening, anybody who's been liking or commenting on Twitter. I appreciate you all. As spooky season is upon us, I will be leaving the Velvet Room behind over the next few weeks to enter the House of the Dead. So make sure you tune in for those episodes. If you do have any suggestions for future episode topics after that, you can contact me on Twitter, where I am at Blazing Skies. You can reach me on Discord, where I am skyblaze42#5499. Or you can reach me through the official Radio Sega Facebook and Twitter pages. So coming up next, we have a pre-recorded SNS, courtesy of Gavi. And tomorrow we'll have the LMC block and Rexy's Sega Mixer Drive. Make sure you check out RadioSega.net for the full schedule. I've been Skyblaze, and this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. One last track to go out in honour of it being spooky season, sort of, and also because it's a great track. We have From Shadow the Hedgehog, Final Hunt. So I've been Skyblaze, and this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.